Spotlight on Brittany, or an audegus got on dut à Garvo.
Spotlight on Brittany, à la découverte de la Bretagne et de ses habitants.
Spotlight on Brittany, bringing you closer to the people and places of this beautiful region.
Hello, you are listening on Spotlight on Brittany, and today the program is going to be very special.
Indeed, we are not journalists, but French students. My name is Alyosha.
And my name is Elie.
And during half an hour, we are going to stay with you.
Together, we will talk about very different topics, and mostly about teenagers, and about subjects that particularly interest them, like sport, fashion, or music.
And now, let me introduce you our first topic, which is about a very famous French rapper, Joe. Pierre and Aubin, it is over to you.
The French rap hijacked the headquarters of Spotlight and Brittany. Today, we're gonna talk about Jul, J-U-L, the biggest rapper in France. His real name is Julien Marie, and he was born in 1990 in Marseille. Jul is the representative of Marseille rap and now of Marseille. He published his first album in 2014, named Dans ma paranoia, which means In my paranoia. Jul is known for releasing two albums a year, each one going at least platinum. He is famous for using his vocabulary, like in the song Wesh alors. Chiquita. Or, on m'appelle l'OVNI.
On m'appelle l'OVNI.
In February 2020, he became the biggest seller of records of French rap history, with more than 4 million of albums sold in 6 years of career. But why Jul is so popular? Jul is so popular because he is authentic compared to other rappers. The rapper shows no ostentatious signs. He stays simple, like at his concert at the Vélodrome. He came on a T-Max scooter. In fact, on June 4th, 2022, Jul performed a concert in Vélodrome, the football stadium of Marseille Olympics. Jul also programmed two concerts for 2025. One at the Vélodrome in Marseille, and one at the French Stadium in Paris. Both stadiums were sold out in 45 minutes.
After we talked about Jul, we'll talk about his songs. The famous rapper made a plethora of songs this year. He's doing probably like one or two albums per year, which is insane. And because he's making so many songs, there is some of them that is so bad that some people has made a new version of them. More in a funny way. Most of the time, they delete the music and only let Jul's voice. And in this way, we see why is it a bad song. They also made fun about his look, his haircut, his outfit, the way he's speaking. Jul is a very friendly person. We see it in the backstage of his music, the jokes he's making, and also the way he's speaking to his friend. That's why we like him. After we talked about his songs, now funny fact about him. We need to take him seriously. He can be a friendly person, but he's also a very good person. He lives in the best way. We know in general that the famous rapper are flexing a lot their money, showing cars, watches, mansions in their clips. But Jul is still living with his old friends, drive a basic car, and all the old stuff the rich people don't live with, he lives with. He didn't change because of his money. He's a truly person. You can see it in his clips. Of course, he's flexing a little bit.
For me, Jul is one of my favorite rappers. Many of his songs are classics of French rap. At every party, his songs are played and everyone knows the lyrics. For me, the best song of Jul is J'oublie tout, a song of his first album.
Ce soir j'oublie tout, cherche mon chemin, je fais des détours. Ce soir j'oublie tout, et quand je repense à ce jour, je me dis que la vie est courte, on partira tous un jour, alors je m'en tape de vos discours.
Personally, I like him a lot. His look and the type of music he's making. I really love his rap. I think he's one of the best rappers in the world. You can put his music everywhere, mainly in parties, but also when you're chilling. And that's why I wanted to choose him. By the way, one of my favorite songs of his album is In My Paranoia.
Paranoia. Laissez-moi sur ma route, j'en ai plus rien à foutre. Ami, ennemi, y'a un mot loin comme me.
Thank you for listening to us, guys.
That was Pierre and Aubin about June. Our next topic is about fashion. Louise, Laure and Zélie, it is over to you.
Hello everyone. Today we have the pleasure to be here on the Spotlight on Brittany. We will talk about fashion, but as well about one story in particular. Try to guess who that can be.
I don't know. I guess it's about fashion.
Maybe Yves Saint Laurent or Dior.
Or maybe Coco Chanel.
Yes, you're right. We will talk about Coco Chanel. Or shall I say Gabrielle Chanel. I think many people have heard a lot about her. She founded a fashion empire. However, do they really know the real story? The story began when she was young. We don't know a lot about her childhood, except that she was French and she was born in 1883 in a poor family. She spent 6 years in an orphanage. It shaped her hard character. She liked to wear comfortable clothes like pants or dress without corset to be free of her movements.
Oh my god, she was a different girl even when she was young.
Okay, it's good, but how did she create her own business if she was poor? I mean, at this time, she could just have been a factory worker.
When she grew up, after the orphanage, she ran away from a forced marriage. She left to her aunt and went to a sewing school.
She had a strong character. The only thing she struggled with was to get out of poverty. After that, she sang in a lot of cafes and she was very coveted by a lot of men.
He nicknamed her Coco because she used to sing Qui a vu Coco dans le Trocadéro?
Me tromper, plus Coco, mais t'es fidèle. Vous n'auriez pas vu Coco, Coco dans le Trocadéro, Coco dans le tronc, Coco dans le tronc. Coco dans le Trocadéro. Qui a vu Coco, et Coco, et Coco. Qui a vu Coco, et Coco.
Oh wow, there is nothing to do with her.
Yes, and do you want to know something else? The double C of Chanel symbols come from the idea she had when she looked at the windows of the orphanage, because they were symbols like this.
How did she come up with that idea? She's extremely smart.
Yes, so once she met a man whose name was Etienne Balzan. He showed her the rich life. She met one day an English boy at the rich party, a friend of Etienne Balzan, whose name was Capel. She would be his mistress and he would buy her a first shop.
Oh, I see now. It's thanks to a rich man that she could open her first shop.
Yes, but be careful. She loves this man Tout. But after a tragic car accident, he died in 1919 near Monaco. It would affect, of course, Chanel deeply.
Oh no, it's so sad.
Yes, she wouldn't love another man like him.
She started to make hats for girls and clothes. She was a visionary. She didn't make clothes like everyone. It worked so well, so many clients came every day that she had to open other shops. Her first shop was in Paris, then in Deauville, then in Biarritz. She started to cut short skirts. She wanted to free the form of woman. At 1915, she ran out of fabric, so she had to make clothes with jersey. To wear her dresses, a lot of women tried to be fit like her.
After the war, not to be affected by the death of her love, she worked more and more. Her company became one of the most important ones, with 300 workers. She had numerous love affairs with men who inspired her for clothes. For example, making clothes with tweed comes from a relationship with the Duke of Westminster. She created the famous Petite Robe Noire in 1926, which would become an emblematic symbol of Chanel. Or she opened as well a perfume store like the No. 5 of Coco Chanel. Nowadays, she has influenced many fashion houses. A lot of them have developed, and you can see all the creation in the Fashion Week. So she helped for the women's rights, and that worked well.
That worked so well that her brand is always in the famous fashion show like Fashion Week.
Yes, and now you can buy articles from Chanel like a bag or her famous perfume. It's still very fashionable and popular.
Yes, and today I wear my favorite Chanel bag.
And she inspires so many people like singer who wrote songs mentioning her name.
Je demande délicat coco. Je demande délicat coco Chanel. De Paname à Dakar, je suis trop décalé. Elle veut liquide, je suis dans le honnête. Me demande de l'aimer, mais je suis une galère. Je demande délicat coco Chanel. Elle veut ma chigidi, chigidi, jamais. Je suis comme un rafatant coupé décalé.
Wow, she seems so extraordinary. She really shook up society and created new things by surpassing herself. And do you know what? It brings another person to my mind, is French, is a YouTuber. And I think we can say that he overcame obstacles because he has climbed the Everest. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to speak about Enoch Stagg. Alistair, Tom and Victor, it is over to you.
What's up guys and welcome. Today we are lucky to have Enoch Stagg with us, a young French YouTuber who just released a film about his journey climbing Mount Everest. We will be diving into his world preparation for it, you know what I'm saying.
But before we bring him on, let's introduce him for those who don't know him yet. Enoch Stagg, whose real name is Inès, is one of the most influential French YouTubers around. He first blew up with his Fortnite videos and funny vlogs, but over the years he's really diversified his content. Whether he's taking on extreme challenges or doing simple vlogs, is always finding ways to evolve. Just recently, he took things to the next level by releasing his own movie, Kaizen, in theater, a film all about pushing limits and constantly improving.
Alright, let's bring him on.
Zibardi, Zibardi! Zanzazion, Zanzazionnaire, ce soir! Zibardi.
Don't try this yourself. It's extremely
good. Enough, enough, enough.
Hey, boss, how's it going?
Just chilling, you know. How about you guys?
We're doing great. We are really happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here too, guys. Honestly, this film means a lot to me. And I had such a great time making it.
Awesome. So, first of all, from your videos and the movie, we can see that anime plays a big role in your life. We were curious if that's where you got that shonen mentality. You know, that strong will mindset we see a lot in anime.
Oh, totally. Ever since I was a kid, anime has been a massive inspiration. What inspires me the most is watching characters chase after these crazy, almost impossible dreams, going through challenge after challenge, and always bouncing back after failures. That taught me real strength is all about perseverance and pushing past limits. It's that philosophy that drives me. Whether I'm doing challenges like surviving 7 days alone on a deserted island or going through a physical transformation in 2 months. Every project is a way for me to live out that hero mentality, like never give up and always leveling up.
That's honestly surprising, but it makes total sense. It's impressive how anime stories inspire you to take on self-improvement quests, even climbing Mount Everest. It really shows the power of such stories to motivate people.
And in your film, we can see the intense preparation you did. We've heard that training for mountaineering is long and super important for staying safe up there. How was that whole preparation process for you?
To be honest, I was nervous. Because when I first said I was going to climb Mount Everest, I knew nothing about mountaineering. Thankfully, I had Mathis Dumas helping me build up the technical skill I needed. For physical prep, I worked with Idris, my personal trainer, who set me up with a custom training plan, so I'd be as ready as possible for the climb.
We were honestly shocked at how you managed to be so technically skilled and even independent up there. One thing that really surprised me and Victor was just how crowded it was on the mountain. We saw these white scenes with traffic jam at the summit.
And so Kaizen is about self-improvement, right? But what does Kaizen mean?
Basically, Kaizen is a Japanese life philosophy that means continuous improvement. It's all about always leveling up, not just professionally, but in everyday life too. And even as a creator, I use this idea to push myself to make the best content without being annoying. You know?
I totally get it. Honestly, it's a philosophy that we could all apply to our life. So, what's the goal of your film? What message are you trying to send?
For me, the film's message is that anyone can improve. Not just in their career, but in life in general. It's a real look at what success means and how to push past personal limits. But it's not just for my fan and the YouTuber. The film can resonate with anyone looking to grow and evolve.
We can imagine you can beg a changed person from this whole experience. What would you say changed the most for you?
Honestly, the biggest lesson I got from Kaizen is how bad screens can be for us. It's like they're wrecking our minds, you know? With social media, you're just scrolling and before you know it, hours are gone that you could have used doing something else.
That's so real. These days, the younger generation is totally hooked on their phones. So it's awesome to have people like you out there guiding them in the right direction.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Enox, and for talking to us about your film. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me. And don't forget, the journey matters more than the destination. I hope you guys enjoy Kaizen and that it inspires you to keep leveling up too. See you soon.
By the way, did you know he broke box office record with his film? And he's got tens of millions of views on YouTube. He's an inspiration for this generation, really. Just keep your dreams in sight and keep grinding for them. Alistair, wanna say the last word?
Sure. So if you are a fan of Enox Tag or just love inspiring stories, Kaizen is a must watch. It's a heartfelt project about self-improvement, resilience and personal growth. But it also reminds us to disconnect and enjoy life. Enox Tag shows a different side of himself in this film, sending a message that makes us think about what really matters.
And that wraps it up for today. Thanks to everyone for tuning into our podcast. So, see you soon.
Thanks, it was very inspiring. And after alpinism, the next topic is about parasport. Charles, Alyosha and Corentin, you are going to talk about the Paris Paralympics, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We wanted to come back to this event because it was quite a lovely competition and an important step in the popularization of parasport. In order to talk about it, I'm in the company of Charles and Corentin. Charles, hello. You are a former athlete. And now you work as a coach for several professional athletes with a disability.
Hello.
Our second guest is a sports journalist, specialized in parasport and also in the history of sports betting. Your last book is an essay entitled To Bet or Not to Bet. That is the question. Corentin, hello.
Hello, I'm glad to be here with you.
And so am I. Firstly, let's discuss the story, Corentin, you have worked a lot about the history of the Paralympics game. Could you tell us more about it? And then could you explain to us about the most important information concerning the Paris Paralympics?
Yes, of course. The first Paralympics were organized in Rome in 1960 and the first Winter Paralympics in Sweden in 1976. But during the Paralympics in Rome, only 23 nations and 400 athletes took part in the game. So we can definitely say the Paralympics have greatly progressed in comparison to the first ones. Indeed, gradually, more and more disciplines were created, there were more and more athletes, and more people interested by parasport until today. Now, concerning the Paris Paralympics, they were the 17th Paralympics. They started on the 28th of August, and the closing ceremony took place on the 8th of September. This year, the athletes I've competed in 22 sports, 23 sporting disciplines, and 549 trials.
Thank you, Quentin. Among those disciplines, there were two disciplines that do only exist in parasport, the gobo and the boccia. Charles, as a person who has participated in those games, as a coach, could you quickly explain to us what those sports are about?
Yes. Do you know pétanque in French? Boccia is very similar. Each player has six balls in leather, and the aim of the game is to throw those balls as close as possible to another ball called the yak. The players are allowed to use their hands, their feet, or even a ramp in order to throw those balls.
It sounds amazing. And what about gobo?
Gobo is very different. This sport is played by people with a visual impairment. The aim of the game is simply to throw the ball with your hands into the other goal. There are two halves of 12 minutes. The athletes wear opaque masks, and the ball is making a sound while running. So the player has to know this sound from where the ball will come.
Thank you, Charles. Now, Quentin, I wanted to ask you to speak about the participation of the women in those games. Are the Paralympics making really progress as a matter of equality between women and men, or should they speed up the process?
Well, it is a very good question. Thanks for asking it. Women are a little more represented compared to the past game. 40.7% of the athletes are women. And it was only 40.5 during the Tokyo's Paralympics. It is not a considerable change, but I think the power sport is going in the good direction because, according to the women's percentage during the Sydney's game in 2000, that was only about 20. The power sport is making progress, and of course, I hope it will continue.
Shall I turn to you again? Can we say that the Paralympics have been a success?
Yes, we can. From different points of view, those games have been a great success. People, especially in France, have watched trials with a great deal of intention. There were 10.2 million spectators on TV during the opening ceremony. Furthermore, the media coverage was very important, with 165 channels that have spoken about the event. And the reception was very good, not only in France, but also in the other countries.
And do you think that it is a good sign for passport and more generally in the life of disabled people?
Yes, I do. This increase in the audience's attention for parasport is, of course, a very good sign. We can hope that this popularization will continue. I hope also that the handicapped person will positively feel the effect of those games, and maybe people will start to give them the same respect every human being should be given.
Yes, I hope it too. And it is on this positive note that this interview ends. Thank you, Quentin. Thank you, Charles. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. And we continue to talk about sport with Pernell and about a woman that has participated not in the Paralympics, but in the Olympics Games of Paris. Simone Biles.
Hello, my name is Pernell. Today I'm talking about two great gymnasts, Simone Biles. First, what is gymnastics? It's a competitive sport, but also lazy one. For women, there are four apparatus: the floor, the vault, the beam, and the bars. On floor, gymnasts perform compulsory figures. This sport is very complete. It develops good cardio. It also strengthens the body, making it more flexible and supple. Gymnastics has been an event at the Olympic Games since 1896. At first, men were the only participants. 30 years later, women are also taking part. At the age of 24, Simone Biles is one of the best gymnasts in the world. Yet, her early life was difficult. Her mother had problems. Simone and her sister were adopted by their grandparents. At the age of 6, Simone tried her hand at gymnastics. Her coach noticed her talent. 2 years later, she started a training program. In 2013, Simone Biles became famous. She was 16 years old when she won 2 gold medals at the World Championship in Antwerp, Belgium. She is the most decorated gymnast in history with 41 medals in world events, 30 at the World Championships and 11 at the Olympic Games. She is a 3-time Olympian. The first in 2016 in Rio, the second in Tokyo in 2020, and the last in Paris in 2024. This great athlete shows mental weaknesses in 2020 in Tokyo. The accumulated stress causes a mental block. She withdraws to find a solution to overcome the situation. She rebounds positively. She becomes a mental health advocate. After this long break in Tokyo, she worked on herself. She continued her career as a great gymnast. 5 distinct gymnastics movements on floor, beam and vault bear her name. In 2019, on my TV, I discovered Simone Biles for the first time. I found her incredible. This young woman impresses me. She is a role model for us all, telling us to persevere and listen to our bodies. In Paris this summer, she once again first star in our eyes. Next date in 2028 with Simone Biles at the Olympic Games in Los Angeles.
That was Pernell about Simone Biles. Thank you, Pernell.
It is now the end of the program. We hope that you have enjoyed it. We may come back or maybe not.
Anyway, as far as we are concerned, it was a pleasure, and that's why we wanted to thank each person that has been involved in this project, like our English teacher or every student who was participate.
And of course, we wanted also to thank the radio that allowed us to be with you today, Spotlight and Brittany. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the premier class students from Collège Saint-Charles in Saint-Brieuc, who we gave the task of putting together our December programme. And what a splendid job they made of it. We're absolutely really impressed, and thanks also to their teacher, Rosanne Herouet, who has spent a great deal of time guiding them through this particular project. And it may be that we'll go back to them again to give us a break. So now over to our team, the rest of the team, to tell you something about what's going to be going on in January.
Well, I spent Saturday afternoon recently in the cinema, the lovely cinema in Rostrenon, interviewing Tariq Telela, who is a filmmaker who has made a documentary on the origins of Brittany, which is fascinating. The film was showing in the cinema that evening, but it will be available to view in other places. So join me in January to listen to Tariq talk about the process of becoming a filmmaker.
And I'll be talking to Marwa Ali, a guest from Afghanistan, actually a refugee. And she tells us her interesting, at times harrowing story of how she came here. So all in all, listen to us in January.
And so, something to look forward to, and we might even have another item. So we'd like to wish all our loyal listeners out there a very, very jolly Christmas and a happy and healthy...